Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as always, good news, bad news, crazy news as it relates to conservatives and the political world. We start with the good news of the day, and we mentioned it a couple days ago when the president started this latest bus tour that's really a campaign swing. The only difference is you and I get to pay for it. And he's in North Carolina and Virginia. Surprise, surprise. A couple of states he definitely wants to win again like he did back in 2008. The only problem is the tour's not going quite as well as he probably would have hoped. A lot of his venues have not drawn the crowds that he wanted to. He went to a diner for breakfast, I think, yesterday in North Carolina, and hardly anyone bothered to even turn their head when he walked in. And now he's in Virginia making his way back home on the Daily Rundown program with Chuck Todd on MSNBC. Former Democratic Governor Doug Wilder made it clear that most Democrats in Virginia pretty much want nothing to do with the president on this trip.
But if you've noticed the absence of many Democrats with the president as he swings through the state,
It's
the Democratic leader of the House has even taken out an ad saying, "I am not Obama."
Even had Chuck Todd there of MSNBC saying it's pretty glaring that the Democrats aren't there. They all say that, you know, they're working in Washington. They couldn't possibly make the really long flight to somewhere in Virginia, Jim, to be with him. So it's pretty clear that Tim Kaine and Jim Webb, well, Jim Webb's not running, but Mark Warner can't be seen with him. I don't know that any members of Congress were there either. So a little bit lonely for the president, and it hopefully will be a hearkening of what's to come next November.
I have a piece on NRO today looking at the state legislative elections coming up in Virginia and the initial itinerary announced by the White House. If you were a Republican strategist thinking about these state legislative elections happening in November, and I realize they're not, you know, the biggest deal in the world and not necessarily getting national headlines, but if you wanted to put Obama in the swing districts he would do the most damage, that's what the itinerary was. If the strategists for the Virginia Republican Party wanted to put Obama in the places where he could do the most damage to a conservative Democrat in a Republican-leaning state legislative district, these were the places. Fredericksburg was one, rural districts down in the southern part of the state. So then Obama's itinerary changed, and everyone's kind of vague on why it changed. The Post said that some Democrats called the White House and urged them to change it. Now, they didn't name names, but Greg, that certainly sure as heck sounds like Tim Kaine. There's a couple interesting and fascinating things about this. One is that the Obama White House has no idea where he is popular and where he is unpopular and where he could do serious damage and where local lawmakers need to not be seen as the National Democrats. I mean, one of these guys is literally running ads saying, I'm upset with big spending policies in Washington. And now Obama wants to come to town and tout his jobs plan. You can just picture the guy running as fast as possible in the other direction. And then the other thing which was mentioned to me, which is kind of intriguing, is that Obama for America is now looking for volunteers in Virginia. Well, that's not terribly surprising. But in all of these events, when they call their supporters, when they hold their meetings, I am told that the 2011 state legislative elections are not mentioned at all. Now, if you're a Virginia Democrat in the state legislature, doesn't that irk you a little bit that they're getting together Democrats and you have this election coming up and Republicans in the state are really charged up and they're not even mentioning this going on? Once again, it certainly seems that it's all about Obama and that he's got this resource for Democrats that has to be held all for himself, that can't be used to help other Democrats. We know that Obama himself is not necessarily a useful tool for, you know, other candidates, i.e., Cree Deeds learning this lesson, John Corzine and Martha Coakley and all these other ones. The entire structure of Obama for America is definitely for Obama. It is definitely not for the Democratic Party writ large. And I think it's probably likely to cause some pretty big tensions there.
That could bode very well for Virginia, as because Republicans are trying to get control of the state Senate to move forward on more of the agenda of Governor Bob McDonnell, who, as we mentioned earlier in the week, has a 69.6% approval rating. So running against the McDonnell agenda, probably not the smartest thing to do in most parts of the state.
Yeah, but, as one guy said to me, all of the state legislative ads this year, it looks like Bob McDonnell's running for re-election. He's in it a lot, and he says sometimes you see these other faces pop up every now and then. Right now, Bob McDonnell is the good housekeeping seal of approval in a lot of parts of Virginia.
Yeah, I have a Republican and a Democrat, obviously, in the race where I live, and both of them have Bob McDonnell featured prominently on their flyers, although I would point out that McDonnell's actually only endorsed the Republican in the race. He just happens to have been at the same event as the Democrat a couple of times, but, you know, that still made it into the Democratic literature. Anyway.
I'm John Smith, Democrat for State Senate, and I've once had my picture taken with Bob McDonnell.
That's right.
He couldn't move fast enough before I could take the picture.
On to martini number two now. Unfortunately, Jim, it's the same one we had about a week ago at this time, and that's the fallout of the Republican presidential debate, this one out in Vegas. I guess the best news is that John Huntsman didn't waste any of our time by showing up and taking part in the debate. However, what we did get was kind of a food fight on a lot of things. Some of it was substantive when it came to Romney Care and a good debate over Kaine's 999 plan. And then we also had moments like this, which unfortunately, this will be the moment that's probably remembered best from that debate.
And the idea that you stand here before us and talk about that you're strong on immigration is on its face the height of hypocrisy.
I don't think I've ever hired an illegal in my life. And so I'm afraid, I'm looking forward to finding your facts on that, because that just doesn't...
I'll tell you what the facts are.
Rick, again,
you had the
Rick,
you,
I'm speaking,
your newspaper,
I'm speaking,
the newspaper,
I'm speaking, I'm speaking.
I get the sense that Mitt Romney is speaking, and I also get the sense that Rick Perry...
You're speaking, you're just not saying anything.
And I get the sense that Rick Perry was about 3 seconds away from cold cocking Mitt Romney after he put his hand on his shoulder, and especially after that line about Perry not doing well in the last couple of debates. But in the end, while it was entertaining and feisty, I think some of the analysis at the end, I don't know that Obama was the winner, but he certainly wasn't damaged in this debate. Once again, the candidates, with the exception of Michelle Bachmann, who still fails to get very specific, she's really the only one that goes after President Obama. Newt did it a little bit. Romney and Kaine did it a little bit. But for the most part, the guns were really out for each other. And I know we're getting closer to the first contest, especially as they get moved up earlier and earlier in the calendar. The primary goal, no pun intended, of removing President Obama after one term really should still be first and foremost, and contrasting the Republican platform with what we've seen out of the last 3 years from this president. And unfortunately, I don't know that we've seen that to any great point.
It was a debate with substance. Even with Perry's argument, it was, you know, I mean, obviously he's trying to shore himself up on the issue of illegal immigration. He was trying to make the argument that, look, do you really trust Mitt Romney to secure the border? Do you really trust Mitt Romney to not sign an amnesty-esque bill if his political career depends on it? And I think that there's, you know, quite a few conservatives who have a certain amount of anxiety about that. Having said that, the night turned into a demolition derby, and I don't think anybody came out of it a winner. I think there were just various degrees of loserdom. And I think what last night illustrated perhaps most vividly is, I don't want to project my policy preferences onto Republicans as a whole, but I'm just going to observe that if you're a down-the-line conservative, you can find something to not like about every one of these guys. Romney Care, the Dream Act-like legislation supported by Rick Perry. You can find that sales tax, the 999, Bachmann and Gardasil causing retardation, Santorum, as somebody described, is just the hockey enforcer running around trying to knock anybody down that he can. My boss, Rich Lauer, described Santorum as getting yippy or yappy sometimes last night. Each one of these guys has considerable flaws. I mean, you were mentioning Santorum. Santorum, at one point, kept emphasizing that he had won Pennsylvania twice. Yes, most recently in 2000, and he lost by like 18 percentage points in 2006. The idea that Rick Santorum is going to beat Barack Obama in Pennsylvania in 2012 does not seem like a safe bet by any stretch of the imagination. So you got the field, and a lot of conservatives look at each one of these guys and see something to dislike. So I seem to get a lot of response to this idea last night, Greg. Clear the field. You're all out. You're all rejected. Palin, Christie, Paul Ryan, Mike Pence, Mitch Daniels, everybody, you're in. Bobby Jindal, Bob McDonnell, you're all in. Whether you like it or not, you are in this race. You have been recruited. We're drafting an entire new field, and we're making every single Democratic attack that has been hurled at all of these candidates since the beginning of the race completely irrelevant. It's kind of like the end of the Untouchables, where they switch juries, and all the effort to bribe the juries by Capone is botched. That's what I want to do with this field. Whoever the Republican nominee is, I will support a great deal, but I think you can find a good reason to have a real worry about any of these guys.
Yeah.
You know, with good reason. I think Obama is still quite vulnerable, but, you know, that's... every one of these candidates has a significant flaw, and there's nothing wrong with Republicans being very nervous about them.
On to the crazy martini, and this one is not nearly as entertaining as yesterday's, when the teleprompter of the president was briefly abducted, and some cryptic messages from the abduction point were let out, and Jim was privy to those messages yesterday. This one goes back to Occupy Wall Street. One good thing I think, Jim, has come out of this, and that's that in Seattle, a wanted child molester has basically been identified and taken into custody as a result of his appearance at an Occupy Wall Street rally in the Emerald City. This is a guy who apparently has exposed himself to kids a number of times, and at least, you know, one creep, and I'm not associating him with the rest of Occupy Wall Street, although there have been allegations of rape and fondling with people sleeping on the sidewalks and thievery, big shock from people who want to take money away from the rich at various overnight events at some of these places. But, you know, at least one likely felon is off the streets in Seattle. And if, you know, it costs local police departments hundreds of thousands of dollars to accomplish that, well, at least we got something out of it.
Well done, Occupy Seattle. Congratulations, I guess. Maybe this is all an elaborate sting operation. This is where, you know, the next person who compares Occupy Wall Street to the Tea Parties should be very gently punched in the face to dissuade them from that notion. Because, gee, we didn't hear about this sort of thing with the Tea Parties now, did we? The other thing I'm just going to observe in terms of the reports of theft and people running off with other people's stuff at these rallies, their phones and their purses and all that kind of stuff. I believe it was Ace of Spades who observed, gee, you know, it's almost as if the entire crowd has a big, big problem with the concept of personal property rights. They weren't stealing from you. They were collectivizing from you. They were redistributing from you, just like you want to. So it's one of those things. There is a danger in politics to believing that everybody on your side is good and noble and pure-hearted, wonderful people, and everybody on the other side is a bunch of evil cretins. But you look at the Occupy Wall Street crowd, there are probably some folks who are well-meaning. There are some people who are, for all extents and purposes, professional radicals. There are the naked women in body paint who you kind of find intriguing. But then you've got, like, serious cretins and creeps and apparently it seems child molesters. And it'd be nice if, you know, some folks on that other side of the aisle, instead of embracing them wholeheartedly, could, like, call Crime Stoppers or something.
They can't call because their cell phones have been stolen, Jim. It all comes back around.
Well, I mean, you know, perhaps while you're pooping on the police car, say, hey, that guy over there, I've got a weird vibe from him, the way he's looking at the young kids. So, you know, maybe do your part. You know, as McGruff would say, take a bite out of crime. By the way, if you poop on a police car, they're going to make the Rodney King beating look like a, you know, disapproving look.
That might not
be a wholehearted endorsement of police brutality, but just kind of observing, I can't think of anything you could do that would make a policeman more irate than that. So the judgment of this whole crowd is very debatable.
Yeah, suspect at best. And I would feel sorry for the policeman who got the report of that guy over there has given me the creeps, because that really wouldn't narrow it down much if these are rallies.
So you, the guy who I just caught pooping on my car, are disturbed by the behavior of someone else. Okay, good to know that.
Occupy Wall Street. There is a silver lining, finally. It only took us a month to find it. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, the silver lining just got stolen by some creep.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.